So you have to ask yourself the question, what matters?
The weakest of all political demands is give me something to vote for. On September 17, 2011, we made the power of the people visible to the entire world. Overcoming division, we found common ground at Liberty Square. We're here, and we ain't going nowhere.
And welcome to Occupy Wall Street Radio. My name is Tony Bates. I am program director here at WBAI, and I am joined by your hosts.
I'm John Neffel, and I occupy Wall Street.
My name is Faith Logier, and I occupy Wall Street.
My name is Orlando Nieves, and I occupy Wall Street.
My name is Sonia Zink, and I occupy Wall Street.
Welcome to the program, everyone. As everyone knows, a couple of nights ago, police went into Zuccotti Park here in New York, which is really the place that started the Occupy movement. The park looks very different now. It was once bustling with activity and people standing both in front of with signs and people peopling the park, living in, occupying the park. I was there this morning and there were close to maybe 50 people, including security and reporters. Certainly, I went back a little later in the afternoon and the People's Library was standing. That was kind of good to see. In fact, two of the curators of the library were there and stayed there all night, and it told me that police were arresting people if they fell asleep in the park. So they had to stay up all night to sit there because of the rain and because they won't allow bins, and they're keeping the books in plastic bags now. But they were there to make sure that the People's Library is being reconstituted. They already have something like 100 books. There was a kitchen area reestablished in the park, and there were at least two medics still in the park. So the occupation continues, certainly not with the same vigor that it was in the beginning, but it is there. One of our hosts of this program, Victoria Sobel, spoke with us earlier, and she had a horrifying experience. As it turns out, that night, as I was reporting on the destruction of Zuccotti Park, of Liberty Square, Victoria and I were forced into the same area by the police, and she's going to tell us her story now.
My name is Victoria Sobel, and I'm an occupant at Occupy Wall Street down at Liberty Plaza. I am a member of one of the hosts of the radio show Occupy Wall Street Radio on WBAI 99.5. This is my account of what happened in the past 36 hours. I live on site, and I am a member of the tactical media group. I work with Livestream, and I am a member of the Movement Building Working Group. So I have a fairly accurate first-hand description for all of you about the events that happened. They started at 1 a.m. at the park when a number of police entered into the park, distributing flyers that said all of the occupants were required to remove their belongings, take them out. Anything that was not cleared would be held for people and returned with receipt and identification. This happened again at 1 a.m. At 1:10 a.m., police blockaded people from entering the park. If you had exited the park, you were no longer allowed re-entry. At 1:30 a.m., the police physically surrounded the park, had closed off all entries that were not blockaded by the metal blockade, and people who had begun to try to remove their personal affects were no longer allowed at all. So had people started to heed what the papers had said, they were actually no longer allowed readmittance. On the media side of things, we were able to remove a number of the equipment that we had stored on site, but not all of it, and certainly not our personal belongings, which were subsequently thrown into a trash compactor with no real hope for recovery. You saw this happening all around the park. The level of communication was very low because it was early in the morning. Many people were asleep and many people were not on site. And what you saw was just a number of police being deployed constantly, about every 15 minutes into the park. They were removing occupiers very forcefully. People were being pushed and shoved, hit very hard, and many were arrested. People were being prevented from viewing what was happening in the park and being kept off the immediate sidewalks and even the subsequent sidewalks right after those sidewalks. So what you saw was a real obstruction of of the press and of the freedom of free speech. No one was allowed in. Very limited numbers of press were allowed in to cover the story. The police helicopters, in fact, prevented a number of news helicopters from capturing what was going on. From where we were positioned, we were able to live stream into the park and see the complete ravaging of the of everything that's been accumulating the past 60 days, everything that everyone had worked so hard to do. We saw pallets and tents and tables, workspaces, and homes being completely thrown and broken. And we saw people being arrested and dragged out. And we heard the reports of the people who were holding the park in the middle of the square being tear gassed and wrestled to the ground to be arrested. So this is all happening again between the hours of 2 and 10 a.m. There were many, many different groups of, in solidarity trying to march around as close as they could get. Those people were corralled onto Broadway on both sides of the park. Many of those people were arrested again, and everyone was demonstrating peacefully. So a number of those people were arrested. Many churches and other community centers opened up their doors to occupiers that night, and a number of people still displaced without identification and forms of communication were able to get some sleep and some care, some food off-site. So the coordination effort on the part of the occupants has been very high. People who do have cell phones and people who do know where people are have been working very hard to continue to have meetings, to continue forth, to continue having regular general assembly, which was held at the park last night, and to have a spokes council meeting, which is planned for tonight at 7:30. So on the part of the occupiers, we're just going on. We're going along. We know that tomorrow, the 17th of November, is going to be a large day of action.
Yeah, tomorrow, the 17th, will be a large day of action. We'll get to some of that in just a moment. Many people had that kind of experience that Victoria had. We have a couple of guests in studio with us tonight who are going to tell us their experience from that night. We're going to begin with Sonia Sink. She was there in the park, has been there from day one, and is, as far as I know, the only occupier who spent every night in the park until you were arrested on that night. Please tell us what you witnessed that night.
Well, first of all, the police came in, like Victoria had said, about 1 a.m., started handing out the flyers, and gave us very little time to coordinate or even get people back to get their belongings who were off-site. And the people that were left there were left with the option of either trying to defend what was there or walk away. So we decided to take the kitchen and defend the kitchen, because if it was a sanitation issue, the park was unsanitary, we knew that the kitchen had received an A rating from the health department. So we knew that was not a sanitation issue, and tried to maintain at least the people's kitchen. So we sat and linked arms. Some locked themselves with chains. And then we had two rows of people standing in front of us that linked arms. And sanitation came in, cleaned everything around where we were, just destroyed everything. No concern. They weren't trying to maintain our property. Just slashing and trashing and throwing and dragging. And we sat there waiting. And at one point, we even thought, the police aren't going to come to us. They're just going to let sanitation do their thing and leave. And then we got bum-rushed. And must have been at least 75 cops that came at my direction of the kitchen. They were very aggressive. They were grabbing the people that were in the two rows that were standing and throwing them to the ground to handcuff them, dragging them out. I haven't heard of anybody that was picked up and walked out of the park. They were all dragged. Me, myself, I was sitting in one of the two rows that was arm length, sitting on the ground. And by the time the cops got to us, they weren't holding back. They were punching, kicking, full fists in the face. Me, myself, I got the person in front of me was getting beaten, and he sat back on me, and I was holding him to try to keep him from being dragged away, and had a hold of his backpack, and one of the cops started beating on my hand with his fist, just whamming down on it, telling me to let the boy go. And then I didn't see anything. One of the fire extinguishers went off, and I had to close my eyes and couldn't see anything. And that's when I got hit. and I got dragged by my legs. My pants came down. I had no underwear on, so I was bare. They stomped on my hands. I got kicked in the ribs at least 3 times by one officer. My other hand was stomped on, kicked in the shin, kicked in the head, and pounded with fists a whole lot. Then they picked me up and dragged, carried me face down, but at least 4 officers, one on each arm and one on each leg. And then a female officer screamed at them and said, Are you nuts? That's a woman. Pull up her pants. But by that time, I'd been dragged at least 50 feet, maybe even further. And got dropped down on the ground, handcuffed so tight that I still have numbness. I don't have the feeling back in my hands. We were refused medical treatment. I was concerned that my rib was cracked because it hurt so bad to breathe, and was told that if I didn't want to be beaten, then maybe I should have left instead of stayed.
Well, and you showed me earlier that there are certainly some visible injuries on you. We also have Orlando, who is an occupier. Orlando, what did you witness or experience that night?
I didn't witness much because when they came in, I just left with my wife and they just told us to leave. So we just walked out and stood across the street and watched everything happening. And what they did was take the tents and just threw them in the garbage trucks and just compacted them, crushed them. And we just sat there and watched it in unbelief, the way they beat the American people.
How much property did you have? And I think something, a point to go back to is something important that Victoria said. These were people's homes. People were living there, occupying. This is not just a tent that you're looking at. People had staked this out as their very homes.
Correct. They had their personal belongings there. They had the computers, lab. They had everything there. Everything they owned was there. And they just took it and just threw it in the trash. And now nobody can find what they belongs. They saying, we got to go down with ID and pick your stuff up, but that's impossible.
Didn't they tell you that if you brought a receipt that you could pick up your items?
Yeah, but who keeps receipts for their clothing and other personal items?
Well, no, I mean a receipt that normally, as in the case of the generators, I believe, John, isn't that the case that cops handed down the occupiers' receipts?
When they
took the generators so that they could retrieve their property.
I believe so. When they came in, it was part of what they handed out a flyer saying that you could retrieve your belongings at a certain place at a certain time. And that's up on 57th Street, is that right?
The sanitation department, yeah. Right.
Yeah, but once you've seen the compactor trucks compact all that stuff, what you going to think?
Right,
you
going
to find your stuff where it compacted?
Well, I know that Bloomberg released a photo saying that the People's Library had been saved, and that photo is a complete fraud. At least half, maybe more, of the People's Library was destroyed, and that's obviously exactly what we would expect from Bloomberg, both the destruction of the library and the propaganda to say that, no, we care about books, but they just destroyed most of it.
Yeah, they destroyed part of them. They just gave back just the 10% of them, because there was about at least 5,000 books there.
And we have also our host, Faith Logier, who decided that you were going to go retrieve your property, I believe. And we're going to hear that story in just one moment. I want to remind you that you're listening to Occupy Wall Street Radio on WBAI. And this is 99.5 FM. My name is Tony Bates. I'm in studio with your hosts.
John Neffel.
Faith Logier.
Orlando Nieves.
And Sonia Zink.
Yes, and so Faith, you made your way up to 57th Street. What was your experience?
Yeah, I actually went both days, yesterday and today. Yesterday,
so you have your stuff back?
No, I left
the hell
with
you say?
Nothing. I went yesterday. The paper that was released said we would be able to pick up our belongings at noon. I got to this far off location at about 2:30. And was told that we couldn't come in till the next day at 8 a.m. When I pushed for more information, the gentleman had been speaking to me. I got a little annoyed when a police officer answered me when I asked, well, is our stuff on the premises? The police officer said yes. And immediately I asked, well, if our stuff is on the premises, why do we have to wait till 8 a.m.? We're here now. The note said we can come at noon. It's 2:30. And no one had an answer. I asked for the name of the facility manager. I asked for a number, completely uncooperative. And then finally, they gave me a number to community affairs, and apparently sanitation has a community affairs department. I went today. You have to show ID to enter, and you fill out a form. You have to basically remember everything that was in your tent, and you're allowed up, and when you get inside, it's a gigantic warehouse, and everything, it's clear, has been gone through. They've created piles in gigantic sections, like a gigantic pile of sleeping bags, an area with sneakers, and then an area with sweaters, shirts, and the smallest area of, like electronics, and they're, like, the cheapest, like... I was like, where are all the iPods? Where are the cameras? Where? I was like kind of flipping after like I went through the whole venue. And what I love to note is that they created a wall that's about, it's definitely over 100 feet. And I believe they used our tarp. There's, what is that called? Sheetrock. They made this wall out of sheetrock and wooden pallets and are the tarps to our tents, and there was little spaces that I could see through, and I videotaped all of it, and behind this wall was a gigantic, I would say it's a 70 foot long, at least 12 foot high pile of our belongings, and it's what they haven't gone through yet. And I said, are these our items on this other side? And like no one wanted to answer, and that's actually when I started like flipping out, and I was like, where is this, where is that? And if those gentlemen could go through it, I'm just as capable. And they said that they had to remove that stuff to bring it onto the other side for us to be able to secure or procure our items. And the thing is, we have only till Friday to pick these things up, and they haven't even gone through everything that's there. I didn't see anything that would have been in the media tent at all when I looked through, like, the peepholes that I found to, like, videotape through on the other side. Actually, a police officer referred to our belongings as garbage, and I managed to catch that, and, you know, we discussed that, and I was like, thanks, officer. You know, very nice. You're calling our personal property garbage. And one thing I'd like to draw attention to is the fact that media was given at least a 1.5 hour advance notice to the raid that was going to occur, to our eviction. And us occupiers were given no notice at all. And this is what has been done to our personal property. It's been manhandled. It's been, you know, flattened by, put into garbage trucks and flattened. And now, being picked apart. It's like seizure and search and just complete disrespect. And
stealing from your description, or it appears at least. You know, I want to go back to a point that you made a minute ago. I was there when the police officers arrived, when they began to arrive en masse. And one of the first things that I noticed is before the police entered the park, they were handing out the papers. Media arrived with them. Yeah. There were at least two trucks from NBC Channel 4. There was a Fox 5 truck that arrived. There were two journalists or photojournalists in the park in front of me who came in as I saw the police begin to enter. But what strikes me is they did not begin to transmit pictures until hours later, an hour or maybe 2 hours later. And I believe the purpose of that is that they were kind of protecting the police because of the people in the neighborhood had seen what was going on television. It's likely that they would have come out to support. I know that the area where I was reporting from, a crowd amassed. I don't know if that was because of our reporting, but a crowd began to amass right at the place where I was describing. It got bigger and bigger. Yeah. I believe that New Yorkers would have come out en masse if they had seen those images in real time on television. And that's why, folks, you cannot trust the media. That's why there must be an independent media like a WBAI.
Well, and the New York Times, as Brian Stelter reported on, a pretty clear media blackout that journalists who were in the park were moved to a separate pen that was not in the sight lines of the park, and anyone who tried to come later who wasn't, any media who wasn't in on that initial call was not allowed in. Josh Harkinson, who reports for Mother Jones, actually wrote an account of sneaking in between cars, and then he was detained trying to enter the park. They told him that he couldn't go. He sort of hung around for a second and then rushed in. And so what is very clear from this is that Bloomberg wanted just enough images to go out to show that there wasn't a complete media blackout, but he didn't want anyone there actually documenting it, which is why independent media wasn't allowed in and why the reporters who were there were pushed out and isolated in a separate pen. And it's very clear that the Bloomberg administration didn't, you don't do something that you're proud of or that you believe in at 1 a.m. This is not an act of transparency. And I think that coupled with the police's ramping up of their aggression shows that Bloomberg and Kelly are not trying to win a PR war anymore. They are trying to win, through intimidation. And Faith, I think that what you were describing was a very clear ramping up of tactics that we've already seen of, giving lip service to the First Amendment, but saying that there are curfew laws or there are tent laws or putting all these hurdles in front of actually exercising your rights. And so the illegal seizure that we saw on Tuesday morning is just further attempts to put hurdles in front of, oh, well, you have the right to protest, but protesting is going to be so inconvenient and dangerous that they hope people will stop doing it. And I think that what we've seen from Oakland and what I think we're probably going to see on Thursday is that kind of intimidation doesn't work. That's worked for 30 years. And I think that we've reached a point where citizens are not going to be intimidated by police force in an overt way anymore.
Yeah, to me, it is very clear that the Occupy movement, which is a movement to create radical change for the betterment of the people's lives and this world, stands as a real threat to the power structure. And to me, what I saw today at sanitation was punishment for us occupying. And
the effect that you've had.
Yeah.
The effect that you've had around the planet, not just in this country, but that has shaken them in their very boots.
And it's not going to deter us. And I would like to say what I saw, and especially the media being allowed 2 hours advance notice and giving really the occupiers no time to remove their items, or the occupiers that were outside weren't allowed to come in and get their items, and the condition that they've been left in, I believe it's grounds for a class action lawsuit. And when I did ask who was in charge of the operation on the grounds of sanitation, I was given two words: Mayor Bloomberg. So Bloomberg himself admitted that he was the man who gave the directives for the whole eviction that occurred the other night. Bloomberg is trying to protect a power structure. He is trying to destroy a movement of the people, the first time in decades that the American people stand up for their rights, stand up for everyone's rights. And we will stand, and they are trying to make our movement fail. They're trying to make everything as impossible and hard for us as they can.
It looks to me like hanging on the cliff with the fingernails, or a cat hanging on the tree. The power structure that you describe is on its way out.
And well, we will not let them win.
Tomorrow's a big day for Occupy Wall Street. There are lots of events going on. Starting tomorrow at 7 o'clock in the morning, Faith, what's going to happen tomorrow at 7?
At 7 a.m. tomorrow, there is going to be a movement, and I ask all the people to be, tuned in, because people are going to stand. They're going to take a stand in a very real way,
And they're going to try and shut down the stock market. At 7 a.m., Occupy Wall Street is going to gather around the stock market to show that, to keep the attention on what the attention really should be on. The reason people came to these streets, the reason that people came to the park was to say there is something very wrong in this street. They are in the pockets of our politicians. They're creating problems. And tomorrow is an attempt to do that. But there are other events going on, John.
Right. Well, I just wanted to say that the coverage in the media that you've seen is focusing on the day-to-day ins and outs of the encampment instead of on the roots, and I think that that's one of the great things about tomorrow, starting at 7 a.m., and then what we're going to see after that is an Occupy the Subways event. You can find more information about that on the website nycga.net. There will be people sort of at big subway hubs throughout the city in the afternoon, attempting to talk to commuters, to people who maybe aren't as aware of things that are happening. At the same time, there's going to be a student walkout at 3 p.m. That's a nationwide student walkout, and that is a student strike in solidarity with the Occupy movements. In addition to that, we're also going to see an Occupy the DOE at 4:30 at 52 Chambers at the Department of Education. That's going to last from 4:30 to 7. And the Occupy the DOE is a very, very exciting solidarity kind of offshoot of Occupy Wall Street. And it's an attempt to strengthen public schools, to curb the privatization and the charter school movement, which it runs very parallel to the kind of opulence and disregard for the public that we've seen on Wall Street. So that's going to go from 4:30 to 7, but the really big, big event is going to be at 5 at Foley Square.
And, yeah, I'm so excited to see so many new faces that have, you know, come to Occupy. And I always hear people say the Occupy movement. I'd like to highlight that the Occupy movement, it's a manifestation of the people's power. It is a manifestation of the people saying, I want change. I am not accepting the world as it is, and I'm no longer going to be complacent. Yes.
Well, Faith, you know, I was at the park last night, and there was a huge GA, and I hardly recognized anyone. And I was going to do a mic check that said, mic check, you tourists had better be here tomorrow when it rains to support this movement. It's for folks out there listening, you can't just show up after there's some big event, after there's some encouragement. If you're going to support the Occupy Wall Street movement, it means that you have to be dedicated to that and commit to it, not just after those events, but like the people who are living in that park, who have brought change to this world. You have to commit yourself to it and, again, vote with our bodies. We have run out of time for this episode of Occupy Wall Street. I want to thank you all for being here today. Orlando, thank you very much.
Thanks
to our other guests. And
thank you.
Tune in tomorrow for a full day of coverage on WBAI, starting at 6 a.m. of Occupy Wall Street.
Let's change this world.
Okay.
Faculty, teachers need to get in on it.